closer and closer to Christmas, is we realize that the arrival of the Christ child is just oh so close, and we start getting excited too. But you got to wonder sometimes if Mary and Joseph started making connections between the Old Testament passages and themselves. Okay? Did they realize that they were the ultimate fulfillment of Isaiah's words? A virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you will call him Emmanuel? Did Mary have any idea that she was carrying in her body the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace? I would imagine they must have had some idea that their child was going to be this person that Isaiah refers to as the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, that he was going to be that great light. Because the angel told Joseph that Jesus would save his people from their sins. And the angel told Mary that her son would be great and would be called Son of the Most High. God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign forever. I think they probably had some idea that Jesus was going to be this light that Isaiah spoke of. But I doubt they had any idea as to how it was all going to unfold. However, because of this understanding, this knowing about these things, their anticipation was probably greater than that of any other family. They'd already witnessed miracles of conception. They've already spoken to angels in this whole process. But what other amazing things is the Lord going to do? And I think we can say with certainty that their anticipation was running very high. So today, we're going to do a couple things. Number one, today's message is going to be short. And all God's people said? Amen. Okay, we got food to eat. Come on, folks. Today's message is going to be short. I usually plan Advent a little shorter. Today's is quite a bit shorter, so we're going to get through this pretty darn quick. But there's a point to it, and it's going to be very focused. It's going to be very practical application of how we prepare for the coming of Christ. Today is the light of salvation that Jesus brought into the world, and it's still shining on us. In the last few weeks, we've looked at some of these things, that it shines into dark places, and that no matter what we are facing, whether it be fear or sin or sorrow, failure, suffering, whatever is taking place and whatever may be oppressing us during this season, the light of Christ is already shining on those things. So the Advent season reminds us of this good news of the Savior's birth. But today I'm going to suggest three practical ways in which we can receive the Savior and receive his light of salvation into our lives. Okay? So the first one is, very simply, look for Jesus expectantly. Okay? Sounds real basic. Look with expectation. We get it. Yet if we don't do this, we're not really going to find Jesus during the holiday season. We're going to skip right past it, and we're going to skip right past one of the greatest moments in human history. Too often we get wrapped up in the expectancy of Christmas and forget the reason why we're celebrating Christmas in the first place. We have our Christmas list, all the things that we want to get for the loved ones that we have, and we know that they're going to appreciate these things. Then there is the added stress, of course, paying for all of those things. We look forward to being with family for celebrations and for meals. Yet sometimes we get so caught up in all of those things that have to be done for all that, that we can't seem to enjoy the person of Christ right in front of us. We look forward to waking up with our families, opening presents on Christmas morning. And there are so many different things to look forward to. And sadly, the birth of our Savior oftentimes takes a back seat. So the light of our salvation gets pushed off to the side, and we don't really focus on it the way we should. And this is why we have to fight so hard to try and be looking for him with this air of expectancy. So when a family is preparing to have a child, we often refer to the mother as being pregnant or expecting. That's because she has potential life inside of her, okay? The reality is there is another human being growing in her that is waiting to burst forth and make their presence known in the world, right? So you have Mary and Joseph. They're traveling to Bethlehem, and they know that the baby is going to be born pretty much any time. So I would think that Mary probably wasn't very thrilled with the timing of the census because of all of this with her pregnancy, and sort of like the video pointed out, that 70 or 80 mile trip down to Bethlehem, probably not the most comfortable thing, even if you are riding on a donkey, which, by the way, that's one of those Christmas fallacies. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that Mary rode a donkey. Okay, she probably did, but nowhere in the Bible does it actually say that. Just keep that in mind. Okay, but think about some of the other members of the Christmas story as we think through these things. Their level of expectation. We know Mary and Joseph were expecting a lot, but some of the other people. You got the shepherds who got told of the story of Jesus, told that the Messiah was being born. And according to what the text says, they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger just as it was told to them. They didn't kind of walk into Bethlehem going, maybe he's here, maybe he's not. They walked into Bethlehem with a passion and with a sense of expecting to see this miracle of the promised Messiah. They knew what they were looking for, and they were not going to stop until they found this little baby and that they could send worship him just like they wanted to. Then you got the wise men. Granted, that's a couple years later. But they knew that there was something special about the star that they were looking at. They knew that it meant something special had taken place. And they followed that star for hundreds, possibly even thousands of miles to come and see the Messiah. They came fully expecting to witness God's amazing miracle. They came ready to worship the Messiah. They came ready to worship him with their monetary gifts they were giving to him. And they came ready to bow down before this little baby. They came with expectation in their heart. And this is kind of what our modern world needs an awful lot of. This sense of expectancy of what is God going to be doing. Too often we have low expectations. Yeah, I've been there, done that, heard it all, okay, you know, got the t-shirt, all that stuff. Oftentimes when we aim at nothing, we hit it every time because we've got absolutely no expectations about what's going to take place. So this Christmas time, it is important to develop that sense of expectancy. We need to expect that the Savior, whose birth that we celebrate every single year, is going to be born in us all over again. That he's going to bring new things into our lives all over again. We must expect that as we sit in anticipation, the light of salvation that the Savior brings is going to be reformed and reshaped and remolded in our hearts each and every year in a new way that's going to be bringing us closer to the one that we worship. So that's the first thing, is look for him expectantly. But the second way that we can receive the Savior is by preparing for him thoroughly. Okay? And again, this sounds basic, but sometimes it's a little more difficult than we often think. When Mary and Joseph had their baby, they had to make all kinds of preparations. Okay? So no doubt they probably began making all kinds of clothes and things like that. Little blankets for baby Jesus, little wraps, little baby togas, all that kind of stuff for baby Jesus. They had to figure out where the baby's going to sleep when he came. And not like you and I would do, going, okay, which room are we going to give the baby? And now we need to decorate it and put a crib in and do all these kinds of things. It's, no, which corner of the house is he going to sleep in? Is he going to sleep next to mom or dad? Do we put him further from dad because he snores too much? What do we do with the kid? Okay, where do we let him sleep? They had to start thinking about how we're going to feed the baby. How are we going to wash the baby? How are we going to raise this kid? How are they going to keep little baby Jesus away from all of Joseph's sharp carpentry tools? Okay, they had to think through all of these different things. But they also had to prepare for this trip that they were going to take to Bethlehem, knowing that the baby is most likely going to be born while they're on this trip to do this census. All kinds of things that they had to prepare for. But the truth is that this is the one baby in history that not only did that family have to prepare for him, all families have to prepare for him. Okay? If we don't prepare our hearts for Christmas, we're going to miss out on the blessing this little bundle of joy brings into the world. And if we don't prepare our hearts, we're going to miss out on what this this little bundle of joy brings into our lives personally. And if we do not prepare our hearts, we risk allowing the urgent things of the season to push out the most important part of the season. You guys understand the difference? There's all kinds of urgent things that take place during December, but there's only one thing that's most important, and we need to keep that at the front. Christmas is almost like, a little like a game of hide-and-seek, okay? If you remember, the person who's counting counts down, and what do they do? What do they announce? Ready or not, here I come, okay? Every year I hear more and more adults going, it's Christmas time already? You want to put that tree up at the church again? What are you, nuts? It's November. Ready or not, here it comes. Christmas is back around again, okay? So we need to prepare so that we will be ready for the amazing light of salvation that God is shining on us. The question is, how do we prepare? And I'll give you two suggestions, okay? First one, open up your heart to the enormity of what is taking place. And here's what I mean. God just put on a flesh suit to come live with us, okay? So slow down your thinking. You may have heard this many times in church because we talk about these kinds of things. But God, the creator of the universe, the creator of absolutely everything that we see, has decided not just to show up in some sort of spiritual form, but said, I'm going to come like one of them. I'm going to put on the flesh that can be injured just like they have, and I'm going to become one of them and come down to earth and be with them. Okay? If that doesn't demand your attention, I'm not sure what does. Because when the creator of the universe decides to step out of heaven and come down here to earth, that's something huge. And it is basically God getting down to our eye level. Okay? You ever notice that there are two times when you get down to eye level with someone, especially like with a child, and they have one thing in common, these two ways. The first way is because you are dead serious about what you're saying to this kid, and you want to make sure they know just how serious you are. Like you are punishing them or scolding them, so you get down right in their face, and you're looking them right in the eye, and you're going to tell them what they need to stop doing, and what they're going to do, and so on and so forth. Okay? That's one of the ways that you do this. Second way that you get eye to eye with someone is when you are seeking to understand them, or when you're trying to communicate something personal and intimate. Okay? Do you see the common denominator? Communication. You're trying to communicate something. This is God getting eye to eye with us to communicate with us. And if you watch the life of Jesus, Jesus communicated both scolding and punishment. In case you haven't noticed that, read some stories about him and the Pharisees. Got right in their face and told them what they were doing wrong and how they needed to fix it. But he also gets eyeball to eyeball with us to communicate special and important things, including whispering to us, I love you. Second thing, after you begin to understand what the enormity of what is taking place, that God has come down in the flesh, the second thing that you need to do is schedule some time to meet with the light of your salvation. And I'm not looking for you to forget all the other things of life, because we know how busy life is. They are important as well. What I am saying is that you need to schedule time in for reading God's word, for reflection on God's word, and prayer. Okay? It's no different than anything else that we do for our walk with Christ, but especially some of us with such our busy schedules, we literally need to write it in the calendar, put it on our phones with reminders, whatever we need to do to remember. But from 8:30 to 9 o'clock in the morning, that is going to be my time with Jesus. And I literally write it into the calendar. And so when someone calls me on Saturday or Friday night and says, hey, you want to get together for breakfast tomorrow morning? You go, sure, what time are you looking at? And they say, 8:30. You go, sorry, I'm busy. You say, we can go at 7:30 if you'd like, or we can go at 9. But at 8:30, I'm busy. And you protect that time and you guard that time for yourself, because that is a time that is vital to who you are and to your lifeblood. Okay? The third thing. how we can receive our Savior is to welcome Him graciously. Okay, it's one of these other things to be mindful of. But when I say graciously, basically what I mean is that we open up our lives to Him. So every parent, when they have their first child, has all kinds of reservations. Am I going to be a good father? Am I going to be a good mother? Am I going to be able to protect them? Are they going to like me? Okay, I'm not sure I can do this. Can we return this kid until I'm ready a little bit better? Okay, every parent goes through this. Now, think about Mary and Joseph for just a second. They're not just going to be parents for the first time, but they're parents of a child that was born in a miraculous way, or conceived in a miraculous way. They are parents to a child who was present at their births. They are parents to the child who was present at creation. Okay? How would you like to be the parent of that kid? Yeah. You want to talk about having some reservations. I'm sure they had some reservations. But here's the fact of the matter. When the baby gets here, you fall in love with that little kid. That little munchkin becomes your life, okay? And you open up your very life to them. Everything about who you are, you open that up to them so that they can have access to all of those things, and you love them with everything that you have. And Mary and Joseph did no less with Jesus. They received Him as a precious gift, and we should be receiving Him as that precious gift as well. My first mission trip out of the country was in Tijuana, Mexico. And we had been working on a basketball court. Basically, they had nice little fenced-in area and everything, and the bottom part was cement, and they asked us to repaint the cement because it had gotten nasty and gross over the years and what have you. So we were there working all day long, or most of the afternoon, and they told us that this basketball court was right near somebody else who lived nearby from the church. And they said, if you need anything, head over to this house. They pointed it out to us. They'll let you use the bathroom, whatever you need, they'll help you out. Okay. Well, sure enough, later on in the day, I took a crew of kids down the street to this person's house. And I remember distinctly sitting in their little front room area while somebody else is off in the bathroom, and this poor woman is trying to communicate with us. Now, the female chaperone that I brought with me, she spoke fluent Spanish, but she didn't come with us down to the house. We were all a bunch of English speakers sitting in a very Spanish-speaking person's home. And she's trying to communicate with us and trying to get this message across. And you could see she was passionate about trying to tell us this. And we were just like, no, we're so sorry. We don't understand. We don't get it. And finally, she stumbled on the phrase that we finally figured out what she was trying to say. She said, mi casa es su casa, which means, my house is your house. That's what she was trying to communicate to us, that she was opening up her home to us, to anything that we might need. She was being gracious to us to allow us into her home to use the bathroom, to get water, to do whatever we might need, because she knew who we were, what we were there doing. Okay? This is an attitude that we need to cultivate when we think about Christmas and about receiving the Christ child. Is opening up our hearts and opening up our lives fully and completely and graciously. We need to welcome the Savior in that same way, basically saying, hello, come on in. Okay? Make yourself at home. This is the way I'm going to welcome you. Back in the early 70s, a man by the name of Ray Jenkins was a special assistant to the president, and he wrote an article for New York Times entitled, The Quiet Drama at Gate 67 in Atlanta. It was Christmas Eve, and there had been an ice storm in Atlanta. Now, we all know how well the South does with ice storms, okay? In case you didn't notice this past year, Atlanta shut down because they were not prepared for the ice storm. Literally, people were walking or staying the night in their cars, all kinds of crazy stuff. There were a lot of anxious passengers at the gate back here in 1967. They were all trying to get to their destinations for family and friends and so on and so forth. The gate was basically a sea of people from all walks of life. You had college students trying to get home to mom and dad, traveling salesmen who had finally finished off their last bit of business, a grandmother who was just dreaming of getting home to be with all her family, a young mother sitting there cradling her infant, businessmen who were just sitting there basically oblivious to the world, Few people talked with each other while they were waiting impatiently to get on their flight. The stillness at this gate was broken by a young soldier, maybe around 19 years old, and he started a rather animated conversation with the ticketing agent. It was obvious from the little bits that you could overhear of this conversation that the boy did not have a confirmed ticket, and he was trying to get home for Christmas. He said that this was going to be his last Christmas, and that he would, before he was going to be deployed to Vietnam, so he wanted to get home to see his family. The ticketing agent apologized but said there was absolutely nothing that he could do. So finally, the plane begins to board. All those with confirmed tickets, no problem, get right on the plane. Those with low priority tickets, the non-confirmed tickets, had to stand around, wait, and see if maybe there was an open seat. But it's Christmas Eve, and everybody's trying to get home. So there's no open seats. The soldier wasn't going to make it home for Christmas. Eventually, the businessman, who looked like he wasn't paying attention to anything, walked up and said, "I have a confirmed ticket, and I would like to give it to this young man." The boy, with tears streaming down his face, thanked him profusely. And the man said, "Good luck, son. Have a fine Christmas." As the plane pulled away, the few that saw what took place at Gate 67 walked away with a glow in their heart with all that they had witnessed. So, yet another occasion of giving graciously and receiving graciously these gifts. But here's the question I leave you with after all of this. Will you make room in your heart this Christmas for the Savior? What kind of glow is going to come to your life when you open yourself up, you open your life up, and you say, "I welcome you in. I want all that you're going to give to me." Will you welcome the Savior graciously? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to really prepare for your coming. For these few weeks, Lord, that we take the time to really focus on this and think about ways in which we can honor you, ways in which we can show this to you and love you and graciously receive you, Lord. Father, we pray that you are going to help each one of us to do these very things, to be looking for you expectantly, to be making preparations for your coming, and then when you get here, to receive you graciously, to be excited that you're here. Lord, help us to focus our minds and our hearts on these things. Lord, there's so many things that can pull us away at this time of year. And Lord, we want to make sure that we are focused on listening to you, on following you, and really allowing ourselves to be enveloped in the real meaning for the season and not let it get lost in other things. And we ask that you would be helping us to achieve this in this upcoming week. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.